Welcome to Frank on Target, your gateway to the world of politics, controversy, and the great outdoors. Join us as we dive into the heart of today's most pressing issues, explore the latest headlines, and uncover the wonders of nature, all under the enlightened guidance of our host, Frank Santarella.
Alrighty, hey, you're listening to Frank on Target, and this is WVFF 97.7 LPFM, Red Brick Patriot Radio, broadcasting from Cottageville, South Carolina. And this is a feature presentation, and I am honored to be here with... Introduce yourself.
Angela Humphreys.
Angela Humphreys. Angela is a small business owner in Somerville, but that's not how I know her. Yes, she has done stuff for me there, and she's been wonderful, does wonderful stuff. And plug your business.
It's so fabulous. And one of the things that sets us apart is that we tailor clothing around concealed carry items.
Oh, well, listen, she just saved my very expensive Yvonne Pacon suit that in my old age I was bigger at the time. Anyway, and yeah, she did it, and she did a jacket for me and stuff, and listen, she saved me a whole bunch of money, and it was great, and working around concealed carry stuff, that's tough. I want to know when you're going to start handling bulletproof stuff.
We do some for the police department already.
Yeah.
We repair a lot of their jackets and things, just wow, to, because they're expensive, there's just to extend them.
There's a new, what do you call it? There's a new material out that's supposed to be ultra, ultra thin.
Yeah.
And it's 2A.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's real good. But
none of the police departments have the money to pay for it.
Well, listen, they do when they don't.
Yeah,
I got to tell you. Oh, all right. Listen, Angela is here with us because I find her an incredibly interesting personality, being that she is a small business owner, but she is a strong 2A advocate, a survivor in by nature, and does some training, a lot of training, I think, with women with firearms. Mm-hmm. And is that relatively accurate?
That's accurate. Not just women, but also men, and also some of the police departments.
All right,
when
good.
I'm out at live fire.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. You work at live fire over here in Cottageville?
I do.
You do, yes. That? Yeah.
Yes.
Excellent, excellent. You know, I was one of the beta testers in there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
The Troy's Gate?
Did I like it? It's work.
It is.
It's work. I go there, and you put on your game face.
Yep.
You put on your game face. A threat is a threat, and it needs to be eliminated, and you react within fractions of a second to the situation, and when I walked in, and what's the fellow's name? What is it? Kevin. I walked in, and Kevin handed me a Glock 19 in a paddle holster. He said, "You'll be using this." I said, "What's in there?" He said, "It's what he calls, it's ball ammunition." I said, "How many rounds?" He said, 15. "You won't need them all." Okay, mm-hmm. So anyway, I said, "How many guns you want me to go in with?" He said, "Just this one." I said, "Well, here, take this one." I gave him my carry gun.
Mm-hmm.
So I went in there, and... the threats are, it's incredible. It's incredible. I personally, I'm the tried by six, I'm sorry, tried by 12 mm-hmm. rather than carried by six kind of guy. My threats never got the opportunity to actually get the firearm in my direction, because they were dealt with as soon as I recognized the threat. Mm-hmm. So it was good. And it really, I got to tell you, my first wife was rather timid, and I used to travel a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And she was at home with a small child, and her instruction, and she shot, and she was good. She was by no means very, very competent, but the thing that I explained to her was that under stress, even when people receive a bullet, they don't fall down. It's not television.
No, they don't. They don't. They keep on going.
They will cry and beg and plead. And her instruction was to engage the threat until all motion stops and then not relax. Mm-hmm. All right? Because that threat does pose a threat under even if the motion stops. Yeah. All right. So anyway, so that's what Live Fire did, and it's excellent. It's excellent. Everybody should go through his course for one reason. If it is nothing but to test yourself.
Yes, it's your decision making skills. You can shoot at paper targets all day long with amazing accuracy. That's not what you need. I mean, you need that first. You need to know you can hit your target, and I'm all for practicing and knowing what your limits are. But you need those good decision-making skills, because you don't, in real life, want to kill someone who's not a threat. And that's what Troy's getting.
Where's your pepper spray? Are you carrying pepper spray?
I am. I have
pepper spray. All right, good, 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 good. I have taken recently to carrying pepper spray.
Yes.
Not all the time, because it did go off in my pocket one time.
But yeah, same.
Do you know what happens though when it goes off in your pocket?
It burns.
It burns your leg.
It does.
It's happened to you?
It does. My dog chewed it, and I didn't realize it had a hole in it. So until I was out.
What the veterinarian cost you?
Nothing, because I'm like, sometimes you just got to learn the painful way.
Yeah, but it went off my pocket. It burned my leg pretty good, and so now, but it is incredible. A lot of people carry firearms just because they do.
Yes, because they can.
And they don't think it through. Now, I'm not carrying pepper spray right now.
Right.
But when I think I have to go out, I carry pepper spray. And the reason being is, God forbid, you ever have to use lethal force.
Yes.
You will have to demonstrate that you are willing to use non-lethal force first. All right? And I'm going to tell you, and I should be carrying a pepper spray more, because I don't want to shoot somebody's dog either.
Yes.
All right? I would rather pepper spray somebody's dog than shoot their dog. But when I feel teeth, the only teeth I have is a firearm.
Yes.
You know, so that goes there. But we got a big kick out of that. They said who's coming over? And I said, Miss Humphreys. And I said, we call her Gun Girl. And I said, why do they call her Gun Girl? I said, because she carries a gun, a knife, or I don't know, two knives, pepper spray, and a flashlight. And they said, oh wow, we got to see this lady, you know. So
and you wouldn't know it, you can't see it.
Well, that's good. And I'll tell you, there's been two instances recently that I'm aware of open carry people being disarmed. One was killed.
Yes, shot with his own firearm.
Right.
Recently.
Yes. Nice. Good reason to concealed carry.
Yes, I'm not for open carry at all. I'm for the right to open carry. It's a constitutional right, but I don't think it's a smart choice.
And that's probably accurate. It's not a smart choice. Mm-hmm. For a whole bunch of reasons. First of all, nobody ever wants to be disarmed, number one. Mm-hmm. Number two, I don't want to be a target.
Yeah.
I don't want to be a target. I mean, if I was, listen, we all have, we can think in the mind of a criminal. I mean, we could put ourselves in that position. what do? You look for threats,
mm-hmm.
and you prey on the least likely to give you resistance.
People underestimate how smart criminals are. I mean, of course, the jail's full of idiots as well, but the criminals that are getting away with it are smart. They're smart at reading people. They assess the scene. They assess people. They look for targets.
And they look for easy targets.
Yes.
It's I gotta tell you, oh man, this. You're a Brit, right?
Yes.
All right. Born a Brit.
British by birth. You want to listen? American by choice.
Listen. Why don't you give us a little bit of your backstory? Could you do that?
All right.
To make everything relevant.
Okay. And how I got into firearms?
How you got into firearms?
As a Brit.
As a Brit who they outlawed sharp sticks over there.
That's right. I was in the military, so it wasn't entirely foreign, but as a civilian it was. What happened was I had a sewing business in my home. People were coming to my house. I didn't know who they were. I didn't really think about it because when I first opened my business, it was all women. And then one week I had a man knock at the door. I had no idea who he was, but he was clearly there for business, so I let him in. And I also had two wonderful officers from Somerville Police Department. While I had their uniform in, my father died. My father's father was murdered, and he found the body as a teenager. His mum committed suicide over it. He and his sister got split up and got put in the foster care system, which is horrendous now, but it was a lot worse in the 50s. He went through life separated from his family, didn't know anything about them until he found his sister as an adult. He became a police officer because it was a crime that never got solved and he wanted to solve that crime. It never did. He took it to the grave with him. I never thought about it again until he died while I had those police officers' uniforms in my house. And I thought, who am I having in my home for either my children to find, or at the time I think I was homeschooling some of them, but who's coming in my home that could be a threat to my family or to me, and then my family have to come home and find my body? So I got a pistol. When I first got a pistol, I actually had it in my sewing room and I looked at it and I thought, what am I gonna do with this stupid thing? I don't even know what to do with it. So I started taking classes. The first classes I took were not good, but I didn't know that until I took another set of classes, which were very good. The only thing is I thoroughly messed up and I ended up muzzling someone and getting yelled at on the range. Which, needless to say, as a brand new shooter, was very intimidating. There was a huge skill set disparity with the people in the class. There were people that competed with the instructor, actually in competitions, and there were a couple of us that have barely handled a firearm. So I had to put on my big girl panties, suck back tears, and go back to my why. Why am I doing this? I'm doing this to protect my family. I finished the class, and because I'm stubborn, I signed up for the class again. I thought, if I'm going to quit this, I'm going to quit it on a good note and not out of fear. So I signed up for the class again, and the instructor asked me, what is your end game? And I said, what do you mean? And he says, well, are you going to compete? What do you want to do in the end? And I just said to him, I'm going to become an instructor, I'm going to teach new shooters, and I'm going to be good. And I have held to that now, I think, for 6 years.
Oh, God bless you. That's really good.
I love it.
And do you compete at all anymore?
Not right now. I did a competition last week, and I was like, yeah, I think I'll get back into it.
Now, let me tell you something. The competition stuff...
It's different.
Listen, it's not survival.
No, it's not.
It's not survival.
It's not.
You know, I thought I lost my edge.
Right.
So I went over. I have a, and you, somebody you may know, Mark Cobb, has a school.
I know the name.
Right?
Yeah.
And I went over there. I mean, Mark's a great guy. I went over there for a stop. He does a lot of different classes. He brings people in. I did a stop the bleed class over there. And that's something everybody should do because we put holes in things for sport. We should be able to somehow remediate that situation if need be. But anyway, my daughter was in town, and I wanted to do something with my daughter, and I went over and I said, "Mark, just work with me. Work with me for a half an hour, an hour. I'm losing my edge." And I hadn't been shooting the handgun at all, much at all. I had been shooting long distance rifle, and I was doing that for a couple of years, and I hadn't played with the handgun I haven't used the handgun quite so much, and he got me back on track. It's ironic that while I was there, I got dehydrated and started to get heat stroke. But that was good. That was good because it put me under that stressful situation. But furthermore, Mark retired. He was law enforcement. He was some elite kind of stuff down in Beaufort or Bluffton or something like that. And the woman that taught the Stop the Bleed class was the woman that saved his life when he got shot.
Nice.
All right. So anyway, he's retired, and we agree on one thing: if you can't shoot from the ground, you can't shoot.
Yes.
You can't. You're gonna go down.
Mm-hmm.
You're gonna go down.
Someone has the edge on you already.
I've shot from the ground.
Yeah.
Seriously shot from the ground. Had to shoot from the ground. Mm-hmm. And it's what you call it. It works.
Mm-hmm.
It works. When you know you have no... sometimes you don't have the option.
Yeah.
You know, standing up, shooting bullseye is one thing, and that's fun, and let's go for it. But, man... seriousness is seriousness, you know. But anyway, all that being said, yeah, so Mark is real cool. I went over there with Mark, and he's a good guy. He's a good guy. And the fella over at Livefire, what's his name again?
Kevin Hainbrink.
Kevin. Yes.
Wonderful.
He has metal business cards.
Yes.
Metal business cards. I remember that, like, anyway. He's of the same ilk. He has some lady over there that does knife stuff too, at time to time. That's you?
I don't teach or anything. I train over there sometimes when Craig Douglas comes in. I don't know the lady that does knife stuff there.
Well, you're the lady. Are you the one?
I don't teach it. I've taken some classes.
But anyway,
with knives.
That's quite a facility that he put together.
It is. I've got to say, that's my favorite range in the Lowcountry. That's amazing.
I mean, do you shoot outdoors there at all?
Yes, it's all outdoors, and you rent the range, rent the whole range. If you're doing a class or if you're looking to bring in friends, they run classes, and they also, I teach some of my classes out there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing a range medicine class.
Oh,
in August, Stop the Bleed,
yeah,
with some extras added on.
I'm going to tell you something, that's incredibly important.
Well, and it's not just for on the range, it's vehicle accidents, it's everything.
We were going, Kimber and I were going to the boat,
mm-hmm.
and there's an automobile accident.
Right.
And she pulled the car over, and I got to the car first. It wasn't a Stop the Bleed situation.
Mm-hmm.
The question was the fatality a product of the accident, or was the accident the product of fatality?
Yeah.
You know, so
that happens.
Yeah, yeah, it happens.
And people just get hurt, impaled with objects. It's not just on the range.
No. I agree with you.
I think I taught your wife Stop the Bleed.
I
taught it for the well-armed woman.
Well, that's good.
So I mean,
do you remember? Were you Judy? the ex-sheriff, what's his name, had a range.
Yes, Tommy, that's where it started.
All right, Tommy. Yes. I taught a firearms cleaning class.
Oh, I was in your class as one of the other instructors.
Do you remember the woman that had her magazine loaded backwards?
Yes. I know who
Jeez.
She is. Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
She's a who?
Name not to be disclosed.
No, I'm not naming
names.
But
what do you call it? But I know had who she is. Do you know how hard it is to get those damn bullets in the magazine backwards?
It's hard getting them in anyway for a new firearm.
That
took some work. But that's it. And that's what people don't know. And they don't know what they don't know. And if there aren't instructors that are willing to come alongside them and teach them from the ground up and take away ego. I mean, often, I hate to say it, but if it's a husband teaching a wife, there's often an ego and
there's
all kinds of
there's
stuff.
There's issues.
Well, that's like
it
as well.
It is very difficult for a husband and wife to, what do you call it?
To even shoot together.
To shoot, well... To what do you call it?
To train together.
I mean, if my wife didn't know how to drive, I'd never be able to teach her to drive.
Yeah.
All right? I mean, I taught her, she had a little motorcycle knowledge, but I mean, I got her to learn to ride a motorcycle.
Mm-hmm.
And she doesn't ride anymore, but when she did, my God, she had a skill set that you wouldn't believe.
Yeah. I've ridden with her.
You know?
My first ride.
I mean, come on. I mean, you're not supposed to ride that close on to the edge of that tire. I mean, look at those tires. What are you doing out there today? So anyway, I think I'm going to buy her diner.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I think I'm going to buy her diner offer. And I'm back and forth like this. Okay. I told her I wanted it. I told her I don't want it. I told her I want it. I'm going to buy it. I got a Moto Guzzi.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm giving my Moto Guzzi away.
Okay.
I'm going to give it to my brother.
Nice.
Why is that? Well, the nearest Moto Guzzi dealer is in Atlanta.
Right. Yeah.
Duh.
You're not going to get one here.
Well, I got one. I own the bike.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So I'm going to give it to my brother. He lives in Georgia. He can have it serviced there. And, you know what? That's great.
Yeah.
At least it'll get used. But, yeah, she's a very aggressive rider. I'll tell you a story that I don't know that she ever told you. I took her from a 65 horsepower Honda Hawk GT to 130 horsepower Yamaha FZ1, and we went to the Dragon, and she had only maybe if she had 10, 20 hours on that bike.
Oof.
When we were at the Dragon.
Okay.
And we're both riding FC1s, and she wanted to scrub some speed, so she went to tap the front brake.
Oof.
And only thing is, she reached, and when she reached for the brake lever, she rolled some throttle on,
mm-hmm.
and scared the living shit out of herself. She got that adrenaline rush.
Yep.
When we went home that evening, the whites of her eyes were blood red. She broke every blood vessel in her eyes. And I got concerned. I got concerned. I didn't know what to... So I drove her. I got her right over to the hospital. And they looked at her and they said, no, it's pretty bad. You just scared the shit out of yourself and popped the blood vessels in your eyes. And that was it. She rides pretty good. That Yamaha, she used to scare the shit out of me with that Yamaha. And I felt so good when she went and bought something docile like that fucking... Hey John, gotta hit that button, buddy. when she bought that Dynaglide, you know.
I thought she had a Dyna.
Yeah.
I've got a Heritage Classic and a 1200 Sportster, and I'm thinking of selling them both.
What Sportster do you have?
A 1200.
You have a 1200? Is it a real 1200 or was it just, a...
Yeah.
All right.
Stop 1200.
You know why I ask you that?
Because people soup up the 883s, convert them.
Let me tell you the truth. The 883 with the 1200 kit on it is a more fun bike to ride. It is. It's more tractable.
That's probably correct.
It pulls out of a hole. Because of the head, it has The valves are smaller in the 883 head, but they work. The bikes work, and they're great. Only thing is, what that does is it gives it more low end. Man, you can, that 883 with the 1200 kit on it, you can roll it along in first gear, and if you grab, it's has such low end, you can roll it along in first gear. If you grab a handful of throttle, the front end just gets light. Yeah, it's good. It's good. But anyway, the sports is good. I like sports. This.
I'm probably going to get a Road Glide. Sell the two and get a Road Glide. Yeah, we'll see.
Road Glide, Street Glide. Road Glide is the one with the fixed fairing.
Yes.
All right. The Street Glide is the one with that fairing moves
attached.
The
yes.
Okay.
So it's a lot heavier on the front.
Is it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What, the Road Glide is heavier in the front?
No, the Street Glide. Because it moves.
Oh, really?
It's attached.
Well,
there's
another thing. There's another thing, too. Ride both of them. If you have an opportunity to ride both of them.
Yeah.
You'll notice that the Street Glide with the fairing that moves is a sail.
Mm-hmm.
It acts as a sail. It's a different animal. But anyway, so what is your everyday carry now?
VP9. I have the VP9 with the SCS.
HK?
HK, yep. With the SCS, which is the green dot, and my sights co-witnessed through the... So if my green dot goes down...
Oh, so you got a RMR on it?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
You like that?
I do love it. I didn't think I would, and I resisted for a long time, and I got it. And I also resisted changing from
a
Glock.
Isn't it
big? Oh, not overly. I mean...
No, it's not that big.
It's one of the... It's about mid-sized compared to some of the others. I carried that, the clinch pick from ShivWorks, and a... knife with the Emerson Wave, so when I take it out of my pocket, it opens. I did have a neck knife as well, but that gets in the way of my drawer.
Neck knife is nice.
Yeah, it was nice, but it did get in the way of my drawer.
So, really?
Mm, I need to tweak it somehow, and I haven't, so I just put it up.
Well, you know, I'm going to ask you the rhetorical question, and we know what the answer is. What are you afraid of?
I know what the standard answer is.
No.
All right, I'm just going to say afraid of being in a situation I can't get out
answer,
of when there's
the
a
answer
choice
to that question
is nothing.
Nothing.
I know.
Nothing.
That's
the truth.
And that's somewhat.
That's the
still,
truth.
Yeah.
We should not.
We should not have to fear anything. That is correct.
All right. The caveat to that is that we have George Soros wimp judges that keep putting people out on the street, right? That there is no value in some cultures. There is no value to life.
Yep.
There is no impulse control.
Yep.
And because of that reason, that makes us resort to protecting ourselves the way we do. That's the bottom line.
I know, I don't like it, and that was a hard sell coming from England, but criminals have guns. I've had a drug addict get in my vehicle on Trolley Road.
Oh, I heard that. What the hell happened there?
I rear-ended him, and he was looking for money. I knew he wasn't a threat to me. I got out my vehicle, and he's stuck in the same traffic I am. He was trying to get money. I made a decision. That's not worth... There's nothing in my car worth shooting anyone over. And he can't go anywhere anyway because his car's in front and there's now no driver in his car because he's in my car.
All right, keep one thing in mind, and I agree with you 100%. If I have... God gave me feet.
Yes.
And defensive shooting, I don't practice over 7 yards.
Right.
Nobody is
needed.
The threat has, as long as that threat is greater than an arm's distance, you're somewhat safe yet. But within an arm's distance, you're in trouble.
That's a knife.
You're in trouble.
Yeah.
Uh, Punch and paper doesn't do it.
No.
I mean, you got to have the mind. You got to have an evil mind. Because between you and I, the first shot will be fired as soon as the holster, the gun clears the holster and is clear of my body. That means that the first shot may be fired at below waist level.
Mm-hmm.
The second shot I'll be concerned about.
Mm-hmm.
All right. There is no time. We are not talking about seconds.
No. There's no time to set and line your sights up right in the middle.
Kevin asked me, did you see your sights?
Yes.
And I said, no.
But then they ask you what you did see, and I'm like, I looked down the side of my firearm.
I just looked at the threat.
Mm-hmm.
I just looked at the threat. Focus on the threat. If you take your motorcycle,
mm-hmm.
if you take your motorcycle, and you're riding down the road and you fixate on an object, mm-hmm. you're going to hit that object.
Yes.
With the motorcycle.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing applies to the firearm. You fixate on that firearm. Likelihood is that you're going to hit that. You're going to hit that. What do you call it? You're going to hit that object. It's important. It's important. It's important that you can handle stress. It's important, and God bless you. It's important that you not exhibit rage.
Mm-hmm.
Rage is not your friend.
No, you make bad decisions through rage.
So what happens? You had the druggie.
Yes.
Had you
I was already out of my vehicle.
Oh, you were out of the vehicle?
Yes, because I'd rear-ended him, and I was going to say to him, pull over, because now we're blocking all the traffic on trolley, and the traffic's horrendous. It's 6 o'clock at night. It's daylight still. So I got out and I said to him, hey, pull over. I saw he was angry, and that's when I got out. Because I called out the window, hey, pull over at the gas station. And he kept coming towards me. So I created distance and I got behind my vehicle. And he got in it. He kept saying, give me your money. Give me the money. You rear-ended me. Give me $30. And I thought, that's a hit of rock. $30 is a hit of rock. And I said, nope. I don't have any money. And that's when he got in my vehicle. Had my kids.
Got in my vehicle.
Was looking for a purse. But I was out of it, and my kids weren't in it. Had my kids been in it, it would have been a different story.
But there's nothing
in my vehicle. I didn't even have $30 in my purse, so there's nothing. The worst he could do is take my purse, and I have to cancel my cards. And he can't.
I didn't know he was in your vehicle.
Yeah, got in my vehicle. He's looking for money. He's high on drugs.
So what was the outcome?
I said to the person behind me, because I foolishly left my phone in the vehicle because I wasn't extinct. I just got out. And I said to the person behind me, call the police, because he was starting to threaten me. I said, tell them he's threatening me and that I'm armed with a firearm. So the police no surprises. We do not want to surprise the police. So he did call the police, and the gentleman behind me got out of his vehicle and said to this guy, hey, pull off the road. We've called the police. They'll be here in a minute. So the guy acted as if he was going to pull off the road, but he didn't. He just kept driving.
He ran away.
Yeah. And I called the police while he was in front of me and gave the license plate. And guess what? It was stolen and it didn't match the car. And the car, yeah.
Fun.
And the key is to see the threat in advance. When he got out of his vehicle, I was out of mind because I could see this was not good. He's not nice and friendly. He's angry. I recognized his heart. I'm an EMT, high as a kite. I could see that. So I got out my vehicle and created that distance and got behind it. So I've got something between him and I. Because I think the key is situational awareness and being able to read a scene as much as
you're preaching. You're preaching to the choir. You're preaching to the choir. Situational awareness is probably the most important thing
mm-hmm.
that you can say what you want, people can say what they want. The society we live in, this woke crap.
Yes.
All right? We profile.
Yeah.
We profile.
We do.
Situational awareness is profiling.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? If
criminals are doing it, they're profiling us.
I'm just trying to think of a scenario that I can use euphemistically,
mm-hmm.
and not be a total really really offend anybody. If people are jumping, all right, here's an excellent example of profiling. I'm sure that you've seen the videos from South Africa where they're having the rally in the stadium and they're saying, kill the Boers, kill the farmers.
Mm-hmm.
You've seen that video.
We'll be right back with more from Frank on Target after these messages.